Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tron. Han, how are you tonight?
I'm doing marvelous, Jim. How are you feeling?
Not too bad. Very thankful that we're on the air. We have a show. We are connected. Last week, we apologize. It was so frustrating. Our service provider, Blog Talk, apologizes as well. They had technical difficulty, supposedly with the phone lines, stuff that's beyond my head, over my pay grade, and they said their engineers worked it out. So, good. We're having a show. So tonight's episode 49.1, since we didn't get to do 49 last week, what am I paying for? Now, Han, you and I have talked about this thing in little pieces probably for the last 48 shows about these little things, these little areas, these little – but they're actually pretty big in the sense of – when it comes down to it, what in the world should the dentist who is paying good money to have a consultant like ourselves, to hire an architect, to be able to provide for them, what should he expect? What, you know, what is his money going to give him or her? And what are the things that are normally provided? And what are the things should they be looking for when they're going out to select that architect? Because we all know that a lot of people will tell you just about anything they want that they want you to hear or what they think you want to hear to be able to get you to sign on the bottom line. And in essence, it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges every time you look at it, because every firm's different, every group is different. Every group provides a certain level of something or provides another level of this other thing. And most all don't provide everything necessary. So a lot of times you might have to have one or two or three different individuals to be part of the team to be able to provide what's necessary. So there's a lot in our previous podcast. You can go back and get those. Go back to our website, www.hjtdesign.com. You can click on the link there. You can catch us on Blog Talk. You know, please feel free to throw us your email questions because we gather those up. And if you wanted to call in tonight, you obviously can call in at the number 657-383-1442, and we'll try to answer your question. I think one of the – Han, we talked about, but I think one of the most important things is – when you're looking at what am I paying for, it's that concept that you were talking about, dedicated custom design. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that really mean?
Well, I think the word custom, meaning that you know, when you hear you know the expression or the term used. I say custom home, custom design automobile. Custom just seems to mean that it's made specifically to a certain criteria for a certain client or, you know, for a certain buyer. So naturally, mass production just simply means that what you buy, what you have, or what's being produced to sell to the masses, everybody have the same thing. You know, an office, when you spend the kind of money that goes into building an office, whether it's a dentist's office or a hospital, it has to have a certain customization specific for for that particular client. Even like for instance, even things that are franchised like McDonald's, they're not the same. The building itself is not this not the same if it's in Alaska, California, or Florida. They have their regional, their flair and things like that. So it's custom to some extent to fit the specific demographic that they're served. So in a dentist office, it will be a shame if you open an office and then you go down the street and you see the exact same thing. It's not part of a corporate type of structure. So your office should be more custom, more specifically to your liking, to your need, to your to your plan. And so custom just means it's for you. It's not for anybody else.
So what you're saying is that you need to find a design professional that basically provides unique solutions to your needs around your particular location, and not somebody that's going to pull, plan A1 off the shelf, tweak it a little bit, and pigeonhole you into it.
Yeah, I mean, unless that's what you want, there are organizations. I used to work for a healthcare architecture firm, and I've always, my experience and exposure has always been, every building is designed specifically for that client, for that location, for that region of the country, and so on. So that building is not duplicated anywhere else in the world. Okay, it was naive on my part that there are organizations, there is service provider that have template, that have boilerplate templates that they pull off the shelf and they make a few adjustments, and the client wouldn't know any better. Okay, things that you would think that would be unique and designed specifically to highlight your brand and things like that. And I was flabbergasted to know that there's a lot of stuff they just simply take off the shelf, out of the library, and plunk it down. And because it's mainly their business model are production oriented, so the sooner you can crank it out, get out the door, get it built, the sooner you can get to another project, to another paycheck. If that's what if that's what you want for your office, then that's your call. But in general, I have not run into too many private owner type of businesses where they go, I want to open my office in a 3,000 square foot space, and I want to look just like John's down the road. I have not, but that do happen. Depends on who you go to, who you use, and how they execute their services. Okay, so mass production and or custom design. It depends on your own particular liking and your particular want. But custom just means you have your way.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in reality, mass production and or custom design, like we do the unique custom design program, really doesn't cost that much more in the long run if you go through and utilize a process. Now, we're talking about, I guess, the next part of this discussion is you want to have a design group, an architect, who has, in fact, a process that gets you from the start all the way through to the finish, as opposed to a group maybe that does only the front end or does just the nice looking design and then let you run from there with whomever. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it exists in all industry. Okay. There is branding, or there's organization that specialize in branding. You know, the big idea people, and you get, you know, you get them involved, and they sell you all the sizzle of the steak, and you just don't know the, you know, what cut you're gonna get. You just hear the sizzle. You get all the pretty stuff. You get, you know, you get the color brochures and all the great ideas, but until you sign it at the bottom, you know, dotted line, hand it to the people that actually solve those design problems, then you realize that it probably wasn't money well spent. And for example, worked on a car dealership, and a prototype was sold to the owner, and it has a fantastic looking front facade. It has a canopy that sticks out like 40 feet in front of the building. It looked great on paper, okay, but there is no support. There is nothing to support that, so I keep it up. I mean, 40 feet is a long, long way. You know, the concept is once you put all the structural element in place to make sure that the design work, it wouldn't look anything like the design. Okay, so the front end people, if you know, they provide a different level of service. Just as long as you know what you're getting, those things are usually doesn't require licensure. If you say you buy a package that tells you the color of the buildings or the color of your cabinetry, the carpet, those are themes. They sell you the goods, how wonderful it looks and all that stuff. I find that the money, the continuity and the whole process is rather choppy, because the idea, the over idea is rarely conveyed from the front to the, you know, to all the way to the end of the process. The people that do the concept are not involved in the actual execution of the design, nor the construction, or there to provide design support or technical support or even code support. Okay, you don't get the full package. You just get the wrapping.
That's almost like getting the dessert before you get the main meal. But you hit on so many important points, and I want to go back and kind of circle back and touch on a few of them. But, you know, in the process of start to finish, the most important thing that I think you said was that you want to have a design team / your architect involved from day one all the way through, for the one important reason. The initial concept, the initial design that you're talking about, that is created, that solves the dentist's needs, solves their wants and desires, needs to be carried through to the completion. Because how do you do that? Well, the only way to do that is to have continuity of the people and team leading the project. So that's why we advocate, and our organization does that, is we carry it through all the way from the beginning to the end. Because if this is the intent, you want to have this particular arrangement and you want it to look like this and you want this kind of feeling when you come into these doors, go back to one of our episodes when we talk about first impressions. And then once that happens, you want to have this kind of flow, and you want to have these kind of spaces, and how the patient gets to utilize that and feel comfortable in, how the staff can work together. All those things have to be maintained as the project is developed. So after it's gone from the initial design, you're going to then create the further development of the design and eventually in the working drawings. If that knowledge from the beginning process isn't conveyed through and maintained, you're going to lose some of it, sometimes all of it. And all of a sudden, you get to the end of the project, and the builder, who maybe the builder takes over for the initial designing group, and the builder doesn't really understand what you really wanted from that end. All he cares about is what, making it for the certain amount that you were promised and giving it to you on a certain date. And so, and we've seen this a lot, haven't we, Han? At the end, you end up with, this isn't what I really thought I was going to get. Well, it's too late then. You pretty much are stuck with having to deal with it. And either that or have to pay for a whole lot of more money in the form of change orders to change it to the way you want it. You were going to say,
yeah, it's we've seen so many variants of how things are done. Let's just talk about some of the scenario. Okay, if you want to have a project that has the least issue, that costs you minimal, and come on budget, on time, and all that good stuff, all the good jargon that you hear, is that got to understand that there's people on the project that will be liable for the design, that will take the that will be responsible for taking the project, by law, okay, by licensure requirement, that they take it from start to finish. So when you get involved, when you get put a project team together, and one member of the team say, "Hey, we don't need to have an architect," that's equivalent to saying that you as a patient go into a dentist's office, and the front staff tells you that we don't have, and you don't need a dentist to see you. Okay, that's about the same equivalency. So when you put together a project, a team for your building project, the individual that need to take that will have to take the project and put his name and his signature on it is the architect. So when you have people that could be the world greatest designer or the world greatest interior designer, they are not in charge of your project. They're not responsible for your project. They should be part of your team if you want to use them. They should, so that the entire team can convey, can collaborate, can formulate the entire project from start to finish. So when their task is done, okay, whether they are the conceptual people, they go on their own way, but they're still tethered to the project. If there's something that would drastically change the design and you wanted to maintain, the communication can still exist. When your interior designer usually are not involved in a project up front. I don't know where it came from, but nowadays it's preached that your interior designer have to pick out your color and your carpet and your furniture and all that stuff before you get an architect involved. That idea is so stinking convoluted that that is just so wrong. It's putting the cart in front of the horse. So the continuity in the whole design process should involve all the decision makers, all the everybody that has skin in the game. Okay, it should not be your supplier who throw it together and tell you, "Oh, we didn't check the code, we didn't check the zoning ordinance." It would be up to the architect to do that. All right. Continuity will give you the, in your team selections and your team member, allow everybody to communicate, to put together the best possible design, the best possible project. Don't exclude them. Don't exclude anyone. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, you've touched on so many things. I mean, literally, we could have episode 41.1 through 10 on this particular subject. But you know, the highlight and the most important thing is you find yourself a design team, an architect that can design and create drawings that are authorized by a registered architect. And Han, you've described why. It's a law. There's provisions throughout, and there's a lot of things that registered architect provides. And that's why you pay them. One of the big things we haven't touched on is the whole issue of professional liability insurance. We've hit it in some of our previous episodes, but in depth is professional liability insurance is protection for you, protection for issues that may arise where if the architect fails to perform a particular duty, you have a recourse if in fact you're damaged by that. It's just like any kind of other insurances that are out there. If something bad happens, it's there to protect you. You don't get that with a designer. You don't get that with a interior designer. You don't get that with whomever. The only place you get that is with the registered architect in your state. And remember, each state has its own registration requirements. So if you're in Indiana, you have to make sure that your architect is registered in that particular state. Like us, we're registered in probably 24 different states right now and can be registered in about any state in the union if we decide to. So that's not like it's an issue. It's important. It's actually very important, and it's a protection. And there's a lot that goes into that registration process. Han, you hit one of the big things is a professional registered architect is mandated to deal with the codes and life safety. And all of that has to be reviewed and implemented in the project. Now, I think you brought up a scenario, but you know, obviously you've got two ways of doing it. You can do it during the design implementation, or you can do it after the fact. Which do you think is more economical? Obviously, during design implementation. Because, you know, why design everything, fall in love with it, and then find out, oh, can't build it this way because the corridors are too skinny, or I've got a dead-end corridor here, or I can't access this particular room because I have to go through this other particular room and I have to rearrange things. Or, nope, can't have the restrooms in this configuration because of the code issues. You have to have two restrooms as opposed to one. You have to have separate male and female restrooms as opposed to a unisex. I mean, it's just a multitude of things that have to be integrated into that initial design concept. That's why we don't like bubble diagrams, because bubble diagrams get you nothing in the way of true design. Sure, it gives you some space adjacencies, but that's really not what you need. What you need is a complete integration of how things work together, how spaces should function, and what spaces are actually even required by code. So that, you know, the professional licensed architect in your particular state is extremely necessary to be able to give you a complete package from start to finish. Without that, it's like trying to row a boat without a paddle. You might get somewhere, but you're not going to get anywhere fast, will you, Han?
No. You know, it's let me just interject with a couple of thoughts. Okay, the entire design process Code is necessary. It's mandate. You have to solve that early on. The customization of the design usually are dictated by a space. Okay, if you have, you know, if you have a rectangular or a square or somewhat of an oddball space that you're gonna try to fit in, it requires a little bit more than simply squeezing in as many operatory and so on. Everything have to fit. I like to say that the design process is almost have to be at the cellular level, not just simply this shape will fit here, because the detail. The detail of what needs to go where and all of the little things that are required by codes and how you use the space and all that. It's almost like a listening to a trying to compose a symphony. You have to see beyond just a it's looking at things beyond the obvious or the normal parameters. So that way you solve problems, you resolve things way before they become issues. You take out as much crap out of the space. And you use every inch that you can because you invest in it. So you get the best and most value out of what you have through a thorough, well designed process or design exercise. And using the right team that think together, work together, so you get the best of everything. Jim?
Right. So that result, that results in a very efficient, a very organized, effective layout of your facility, but it's unique to you. We're always and always have been very flexible in that we don't pick a particular supplier of dental equipment, or pick a particular manufacturer of cabinetry or any other piece and part, because we know that the uniquenesses that are out there for each one of you, the dentist, you may say, I like this type of chair, but I want this kind of cabinet, or I want this kind of delivery system, or I would like to use these mobile carts, or I'd like to use this particular arrangement. We don't force a direction in that regard. We work with what you would like to create. Now, if you say, I don't know what I want, well, then we'll help you look at the possibilities and make a determination and then take it from there. And then, based around that, create the most efficient and effective and aesthetically pleasing design that functions extremely well, so that all things are considered in the sense that how much – time does it, how many steps do I have to take as a doctor? How much does my staff have to travel from point A to point B? Why is the sterilization located here? If you place it here, it's going to be in a much better configuration for the staff to move back and forth. And the same difference is, where are you going to be? And then you're in your particular clinical area and then have to move to hygiene for an exam, for example. What does that involve, and how does that flow, and how does that work? Because what we're talking about here might only mean one additional step or one step less than necessary, but do it 1,000 times. That's 1,000 steps. That ends up being quite a lot. And if you can save a few square footage by doing this over that, then it adds up. And so that goes back to that unique custom design to your specific needs. But at the same time, having a design professional that can give you all the things. So going back to what the title of our show is, what am I paying for? Well, you're paying for all that expertise. You're paying for all that knowledge and it being implemented into your particular project. I guess, Han, one of the things that I always recommend when somebody asks me, how should I pick my design professional? How should I pick my architect? The very first thing I would say is you need to find somebody who you can communicate with, who is a problem solver, and who, in this particular case, understands dentistry and the dental project. If you can get someone that has all of those three characters, you've got the perfect entity to be part of your team and to lead your project. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's pretty right on. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, their problem will surface. Okay. It will. It's not a maybe. If they know how to design, okay, if this individual, usually architects are trained to design, okay? Some are better than others and so on. And in this case, we're talking about architects that specialize in not a building, but designing specifically for dentist offices, okay? So if they know, if they can design, they have a good eye, a good style for design, communication is huge. It is huge, all right? If you have people that tell you in so many words, my way or the highway, you're going to have problems, okay? we work with too many of those individuals that believe that their voice is the only one that needs to be heard. Their idea is the only one that needs to be seen. That's a huge, huge problem if you have that kind of mixture on your team. Your team should be people that can hear you, that can explain to you what it is, what their idea is about, the pros and cons of implementing that idea. If you insist that you have to have a particular thing your way, they don't go into the corner and pout until you give in. They have to be able to listen and execute and be open to other ideas that the entire team put on the table, and then mesh them together to give you the best possible, I don't want to call it compromise, but the best possible composition of those ideas. So Jim says that they have to know their stuff, okay? They have to be able to walk, talk, and chew gum, and maybe even skip at the same time.
Well, that's you bring up an important point, because it's kind of funny as design professionals and even some, for example, my wife, she can walk into a space and say, this was created by such and such, because she's seen so many of those particular looks. And, if that's what you want, if you want something that looks like what's, down the road, around the corner, or over the state line, whatever, then, have at it. Great. But if you want something that's unique and partial to you and your staff and your clientele, then, that's what we create. I don't want this to come off like we're tooting our own horn, but at the same time, want everyone to understand what you should be getting and what you should be paying for and what you really are paying for when you pay those fees, which everybody says the fees are too high. Well, don't every one of your patients say dental fees are too high? Yeah, it is what it is. And unfortunately, that's what's necessary to be able to get the work done. I mean, there's quite a lot of work involved in creating a design and eventually getting to the point of being able to construct and build and do a complete project from start to finish. So there's a lot of hours involved. Well,
Joe, because
it's money well spent, isn't it?
Because
it's a big time investment.
Yeah, the episode's about money, about what do I pay for? Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. All right, if you go to you start out, you talk to your supplier, and you're starting out. So this is your startup project, and you are going to spend $30,000 per treatment room for equipment. You got to have the best, right? Because you want to impress. That takes a good chunk out of your budget. You got to hire an interior designer so that way they can pick out the best furniture, the most expensive wall covering. You got to have the latest and greatest trendy carpet and all that stuff. And it takes out a chunk of that, so you spend a chunk of the money for the finishes. You haven't started on a design yet, okay? Everybody, there's a whole mess of people in line waiting and basically want to get a piece of the pie. So when you get down to the bottom, you go, I need an architect, okay? And you go, well, why do you charge so much for your services? Well, the architect is, after all, be the one who's responsible for your building, the design of your building. He or she's going to be responsible for coordinating all of those crazy ideas that you pay for already into one cohesive, comprehensive package. So that way, that document that they produce, you call it the blueprint. Go out to the build, go to the city to for a permit. It will go through there with little issues. Okay, it may take a couple of weeks instead of a few months. When they hand it over to the contractor, they know what they have to do with it, and they run with it, so that way they can stay on time. So it just seems like it's really weird. But the one who's responsible for the project is the one who keeps it beat up on all the time for the lowest fees. They look at it like it's an expense rather than you invest into a service that will try to give you the best possible outcome for your building. They're the one who solve all the stinking problems. The design that you get from the supply house, it doesn't go on your site correctly because they never designed it to fit on your site. Okay? Or it's not compliant to the ADA regulation. Well, they didn't design it to the ADA regulation because they depend on other people to solve those problems. If they're not the problem solvers. So you spend all the money up front. And when you get down to the point where you really, really need it, where it really matters, you ran out. And then you ask them to do it for virtually nothing. People tell you an architect and engineer could stamp the drawing that they done, not the architect nor the engineer, but they are done by non-registered professionals. They should be able to do for a few thousand dollars. That's such an insult. It's
not even
laughable.
That, it's against the law.
Yes, okay. Now, there are respectable, reputable people that actually recommend that you go and violate the law. Okay? Shame on them. They know who I'm talking about. Okay? We're not here. We're not here to badmouth anyone. We're here to share the to share the knowledge and the ideas, and what is what is the best option? What is the right option? So that way you don't stumble onto things that nobody tell you, and you cause harm to yourself.
Yeah. So the last thing Han and I want is for you, as the dentist, to be going through a process and then find out well into the process that, oh, crap, I did that and I need to, I need to do this, or I need to go get an architect now after I've spent all this money. It's like, we don't want you to have to say, why didn't somebody tell us? Well, we're telling you. So those of you that are listening to us, tell your friends and associates and tell them to listen to this show and tell them to listen to these podcasts, because there's a wealth of knowledge here that we're sharing because we want to help to educate the dental community. We want to help educate. You don't have to use us. Of course, we want you to, but you don't have to. You can use anyone you want. Be aware of what you're paying for. Be aware of what you should be getting for that very expensive fee, and make sure that it's the right selection, because there's a lot of unknowns out there, and there are a lot of things that you're going to run into that it's going to be, oh, I never planned on that. So what do? You end up opening your checkbook and start writing checks off of another account, and not the account that you used and budgeted for. So it's coming out of other aspects of your life. We don't want you to have to do that. That's why we have a very thorough, very comprehensive process from start to finish, so that that kind of stuff can be minimized. We take it from the beginning all the way through to the end. And you're able to then really have, in our opinion, the best project for your dollar spent, a investment as opposed to just an expense. Han, you talked about that expense thing. Well, another thing that is extremely important, and you touched a little bit about it in that communication, is coordination. Coordination. They say it three times so somebody really understands it. Well, coordination is crucial. Now, we talked about in the beginning about a design professional that's there from the beginning to the end. Well, who best to coordinate things? That's why it works. Someone that can coordinate all aspects of the project. Han, talk a little bit about coordination. I know you could probably spend an hour just on that topic.
Yeah, and we only have 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I think coordination goes right along with communication. Okay. Coordination just simply means everybody's on the same page. Because we run into it. So often, and it's just a topic that you don't hear too often. Our client don't have a full grasp of they are also part of that coordination effort. For instance, you as the building owner, you're busy running a practice or working as an associate or whatever the case is, you're busy. Taking on to this task of building a new office requires a lot more, some of your time. No, actually, a lot of your time too. Okay, this is one of those things that if anybody tell you that they're going to do a turnkey project for you, run. Okay, it's not something that you basically write a blank check and let somebody else make all the decisions. I wouldn't recommend it. But coordination, it starts with you, the owner. You convey your ideas to everyone. You carbon copy everyone, including the banker, okay? Everyone that's involved in a project, they might get sick of seeing, oh, that doesn't involve me. But at least they get that communication. They get that memo that it's on their table. It went through their inbox so that they're informed. Because somewhere in there is a piece of information that may trigger that, oh, that is important. I need to share that with the rest of the team. I have a project we worked on, and the decision was made to have a certain material for the countertop, the worktop. And so with that in mind, we designed it to have a certain type of support. The client or the installer, the cabinet fabricator, who's local to the project, informed me that the marble or the granite countertop will be coming tomorrow. And they say, what granite? We don't have granite on this project. Okay, we're the architect. And that information was not conveyed to us by the owner. The owner decided to use natural stone, which is heavier than the solid surface material or plastic laminate. It's a totally different support system. So communication breakdown from the owner. So coordination simply means let everybody know, everybody's informed, so that way they can do their job accordingly, appropriately, and they can catch everything so that you don't have to, oops, I forgot to tell you about that. Because it costs delay, it costs unnecessary changes, it costs unnecessary expense. Okay, coordination is really, really super important. It's not trivial. It's just share with the whole thinking team. Carbon copy everyone, all right, so that they know, so that they can work together, they can catch everything. Right? Coordination or communication, basically about the same thing.
Right. Yeah, it's like that. It's that series of checks and balances. And there are other couple things that we do that are crucial to those checks and balances and effectively why you pay us a fee. And that's, Han, you talked about that coordination, but here's another, and it's during the construction process itself. It's called construction observation. Well, we could have another whole show just on construction observation, but in a nutshell, during the construction of the project, when the general contractor or construction manager is doing their thing and they're actually building your project, the architect doesn't disappear. They're crucial to that effort. Now, obviously, the construction is happening, so the contractor's doing their thing. But what you should be expecting from your design professional is periodic reviews of where the project's at. For the biggest thing is that continuity of the initial design from the beginning to the end. So way back when you came up with this idea that you wanted to have this particular kind of front reception desk, and you wanted it to look like this, and you wanted it to feel like that, and maybe you wanted it to be illuminated like this, and you wanted it to be made of this particular material. During construction observation, the design professional, the registered architect, is out there during a field visit, and they'll review that to make sure that what was drawn on the drawing is being implemented in the field from a design standpoint. They're not out there inspecting. that every little bolt has been tightened and every screw has been screwed in and every little plumbing fixture has been tightened. That's not what the architect does. The architect does is answers the questions of the contractor in the field, helps with coordination to make sure everyone knows where they're at and what needs to happen next and what should and shouldn't happen. We review things like shop drawings, which are mandatory for a project. We could talk at length about those things. We review pay applications. Again, we could talk at length about those things. And we observe the construction to make sure that it is actually keeping the original design intent all the way through. You know, let's say we show in the drawings that the windows are to be aluminum, thermally broken, and they're to have a special color on the frames. You picked, let's use an example, a navy blue or a dark chocolate color. And they're supposed to be a custom color, and that's what was shown on the design drawings. That's what was shown on the shop drawings. Okay, is that what's being installed? We're there to make sure.
If not,
you'll be the first to know, because we report directly back to you, the owner, to say this is something that is not per the original design. And then instructions are then given to the contractor as to how to fix it, whether it's tear it out and replace it, or live with it and send you back a check for the difference in cost as negotiated. There's just a lot of things that happen during that construction administration phase. And we like to call the construction administration phase the very last review period before something gets totally finalized. Because in the construction world, it's a very fast and furious, and also can be extremely expensive to make any kind of adjustment or any kind of change. So if something goes in, it could cost sometimes two times more to take it out and replace it with something else. So that's why the checks and balances are in there. That's why those shop drawings are so crucial, to be able to have those before something installed. And we can talk at length about that. Han, I know that's a touchy subject.
I got a question, okay? Because I hear this often too. If I ask you, I say, hey, Jim, listen, I have a very good contractor who does nothing but dental office, got a great reputation and all that stuff. Can I just use him and the contract with the architect in after they pull the permit? Should I keep the architect on? Or since I got a good builder, I don't need the architect. What would you have to say about that?
I would say that's extremely dangerous. Because just like anything, when we talked about the continuity from beginning to end, even though this builder has an extreme amount of experience building dental offices, and that's good. That's actually a very good thing. You want to have someone who has experience in building dental offices because that helps to minimize, well, I didn't know that you had to do that. How many times have we heard that, Han? I didn't see that in the drawings when it was there. I didn't bid it that away. Well, why not? Did you look at the drawings before you placed your bid? So you don't want to turn over the reins to a new entity like a very experienced contractor who does hundreds and hundreds of dental offices. When they have no idea what the original design intent was, and to make sure that everything flows and you get that continuity. So you're taking a very big risk for a very small percentage of our fee reduction. In our opinion, the money well spent to have the design team continuity all the way through, providing, you know, we're your eyes and ears as a final check and balance on the integrity and continuity. So,
well,
hope that answers.
Besides the besides the technical aspect of the design, you know, adhering to the design intent, there is also money issues. Okay, if a contractor decided to take corners, there's nobody there to check. Nobody. Okay. The reason why they built the office for you, the owner, is because you're not going to build it yourself, right? So if they swap out material that was not intended for the project because it's cheaper, there is nobody there to see, nobody there to know, right? If the architect's not there to check them and hold them to the fire, it's your loss, okay? If you overpay and they leave the project, and you got hold. You know, you got you're there holding the unfinished project and not enough money. Well, that's another reason why you should have an architect stay on the project to make sure that your butt is protected financially as well. Substitution is huge. It's done all the time. You know, what can you tell the difference between one type of drywall versus the other? What can you tell the difference between one, you know, a $10 carpet versus a $30 carpet? What can you tell the difference between, you know, a base general plastic laminate or paint or, you know, or ceiling tile? You don't. That's the reason why it is a good investment, a good idea to protect yourself and have somebody that know what's going on and know how to protect you and advocate for your interests.
Let me give you a good example. Let me say, okay, how can you tell the difference between a rubber roof system that will give you a 5-year warranty or a 25-year warranty? You can't. They look exactly the same. They feel exactly the same. It's all about how they're installed. It might be even the same exact thickness, but if it's not installed per the manufacturer's specification by a certified installer, by the manufacturer, with specific specifications on the details on how things are put into place, you don't have a product installed roof that has a 25-year warranty. You have something that has maybe no warranty or only a 5-year warranty. And you know what? You'll never know it. You'll never know it until the point that it fails. And then when you go to talk with the roofing contractor, he said, well, that's past the 1 year. So the general contractor said, that's past the 1 year. I'm not liable for anything. And then you try to go back to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer says, well, that wasn't installed by a certified contractor. That was installed by, you know, XYZ Roofing in a pickup truck. We do not honor the 25-year warranty. Guess who pays for the repair? You do. Write a check. And that's usually a big check, because when those kind of things fail, it usually takes time, works its way through the building envelope, will more than likely cause damage to other surfaces and materials. You could be looking at tens of thousands of dollars of repair costs. Is it worth the risk?
So,
it's not worth the risk.
So, people often say, and the person that tells you often is that it's such a waste of time. Your architect's only wasting our time. We don't need to do that. I've never done it. Yada, yada, yada. So the architect is making our life more miserable. No.
You're talking about the contractor, right?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Because there is a process that I put in place that's implemented throughout the entire industry. If your contractor is not familiar with it, it's because it's not qualified. All right? A house builder functions totally different than a commercial office or commercial building contractor. Totally different.
And even in the commercial building contracting world, Han, there are levels.
Yep. Yes.
Dental office is a very complicated building. It's not your run-of-the-mill retail center. Excuse me. It is a complicated building with a lot of uniquenesses in it. And that's why they tend to cost more. They are more complicated. And so someone who's maybe used to dealing with a light commercial is not qualified to do dental construction. Just not.
Yeah, it requires a lot more coordinations and not just coordination, but know-how. Okay, like you say, a contractor who I do commercial building, that could mean that all he does is shopping strips, right? You got four walls, you might or may not have any slab inside. You got windows and doors. And maybe some plumbing for a toilet room in the corner. That's it. Okay? That can be done by anyone, virtually almost anyone, with a pickup truck. But when you get into coordinating a small army of people that has responsible for a lot of small pieces and parts, it takes a little more than simply, I've done commercial buildings. You're right. Okay? So money well spent. It's where do you invest your money in the whole process, that's involved in the design and in the buildings. Don't cut corners. If you save a dime because the contractor say so, great. But usually that's not the case. Your architect, your design professional should remain on your project throughout the entire process. They're not just providing the pure design. They're a lot more valuable than simply they make blueprints. We don't do blueprints, okay? That's just part of the tools, part of what we use and produce in our trade. It's like same thing where people say to the dentist, oh yeah, that's right, all you do is
And by the way, they're not blue anymore. They did away with that
right.
many, many years ago.
We're a lot more
sophisticated. So to kind of summarize tonight, what am I paying for? Everything we talked about. And you should get everything we talked about. Do not settle for paying a high fee for something much less. I think Han said it correctly in that you want a design professional, you want a registered architect that starts from the beginning to the end, follows the whole project through, is your representative, and has the ability to do all that, has the expertise, all things that are dental. When it comes to the dental office, that individual, that group knows dentistry. You definitely want to make sure that they're registered within your state, that they can produce a set of drawings that can be reviewed by the building department, that can be permitted, and most of all, can be built from. Because if you can't get that from your design entity, why are you asking them to work on your project? For what reason? The goal is to build the project. The goal is to go from, I don't have anything to work in right now, to something that you can actually occupy. Well, you can't do that unless you integrate the process that we've talked about from start to finish. Han, I'll let you wrap it up there.
Well, I think I had a great time. I hope I didn't beat up on anyone too badly. But it's a serious kind of conversation because it involves serious dollars. Where the architect it's not about us. It's about you. The architect's responsibility and only objective is to make sure that the project that they're involved in get carried through from start to finish. The client that they have are protected in every possible way possible. They are the strongest advocate that you can have besides yourself. They are supposed to be very knowledgeable about their trade. They can solve the problem. They can take it from A to Z. They don't need to pass the baton on to anyone else, nor should they carry somebody else's baton. Okay? I say this jokingly, that we make terrible architectural janitors. We don't like to clean up anybody else's work. You shouldn't hand your architects anybody else's mess to clean up. Okay? So with that, I appreciate all of you spending the time with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
Yes, without a doubt. And just a last thought, next Tuesday, God willing, we will have a connection and we will have our 50th show. So it's going to be a special one. Tell all your friends and coworkers if they want to hear. We're going to share a couple interesting things, and we're looking forward to number 50 for us. So kind of a milestone in a way. Never thought we'd get there, but we've done 50 of these. That'll be kind of cool. To that end,
that'll be
cool.
Jim, tell me, we're gonna serve pizza.
Only the homemade stuff. Okay, everybody, thank you so much, and good night. We look forward to next Tuesday.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.